We are on Sadi Aleph from the Bays at the bottom. Middle of a conversation, just I have a follow-up item from yesterday, but I'll hold it until some more of the group gets here. Yesterday we said that Shmuel tells me it's all right to put wine on the Mizbeach, because any extinguishing that goes on is a davar sheino miskaven. It's not what you're intending to do. Now, davar sheino miskaven is prohibited when it's psik reshe, when you're guaranteed that you're going to violate whatever malacha is involved. But I mentioned yesterday that Rashi says that you can just do it drop by drop, and that way you'll be okay. The Ayelet Shachar quotes the Kilos Yaakov asking whether that really works, doing it drop by drop, because maybe if you're doing such small amounts, that's not really called pouring it on the Mizbeach. That's a side note. The overall principle is davar sheino miskaven is going to permit me to pour wine on the Mizbeach, even though I may put out the fire on the Mizbeach in part by doing so. We're now one line up from the bottom, the middle of the line. Sadi Aleph Amud Beis, 91b. And the Gemara asks a question. Lememra de Shmuel k'Rabbi Shimon Sfirulei. Are you trying to tell me that Shmuel agrees with Rabbi Shimon regarding davar sheino miskaven? I know Shmuel disagrees with Rabbi Shimon in another halacha. V'amar Shmuel mechaben gachela shamateches b'rishus harabim b'shvil shlo yizuku barabim. Shmuel says that if there's a coal made of metal that is in the public space, you're allowed to extinguish it so that it doesn't damage people. A coal made of metal means you have a piece of metal that's been heated up to a great extent. We know that you're not allowed to heat metal to a great extent on Shabbos, and heating it is considered like fire, so cooling it off should be like extinguishing. As Rashi says, though, the reason I'm allowed to do it, Rashi, the bottom line there, is lav bas kibuyhu, because it's really not extinguishing a flame when you cool this off. It's a rabbinic prohibition. The rabbinic decree will not apply in a case where people will be harmed. So even though no one is in direct and immediate danger, I'm allowed to cool off this piece of metal, as opposed to tapetzadi bezem et aleph. I'm not allowed to do that if I'm dealing with a piece of wood, as Rashi says on top of the page. Debas kibuhi. That's really up for extinguishing. That's really a case of kibuhi, putting out a fire. That's biblical. V'ki Rabbi Shimon, and if you tell me Shmuel believes that Rabbi Shimon is correct in general, lo mishkachas kibuy, elav miskaven, lasas pechmen b'kibuyo b'tzarech lahem. Well, the truth is that real kibuy, real extinguishing, is not also unless you intend to make coals. That's the way they did it in the Mishkan. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon, malacha shenit zvicha legufa pater ala. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that you're exempt if you do a malacha for a reason other than the reason for which they did it in the Mishkan. That's what we call malacha shenit zvicha legufa. V'kibui tzarech gufo hu. I'm using the addition that they have in the side margin. This is a case of malacha shenit zvicha legufa. You're not extinguishing it because you want coals. You wish you had never seen this piece of wood that's endangering people in public. You don't want the coals. You just want to get rid of the fire. That's the idea. So therefore, this is malacha shenit zvicha legufa. And if you believe that Rabbi Shimon is correct in Hilchos Shabbos, You should be able to extinguish this gachela shel eitz as well, as the Gemara walks us through it. V'isak adaitak Rabbi Shimon Sfirulei. If you're going to tell me you believe that Shmuel sides with Rabbi Shimon, afilo gachela shel eitz nami, you should be able to extinguish the piece of wood too. So the Gemara's answer is, you're mixing apples and oranges. It's true that they both come up in Hilchos Shabbos, but davar sheino miskaven and malacha sheino tzvicha legufa are entirely different issues. Davar sheino miskaven is a matter of kavana. Did I intend to do the malacha or not? Is it malachas machshevas in that sense? Malacha sheino tzvicha legufa is a separate discussion. Is this really a malacha at all? Because it doesn't match what they did in the Mishkan. So I'll tell you that when it comes to malacha, when it comes to davar sheino miskaven, like pouring the wine on the fire, in that case, he agrees with Rabbi Shimon. However, when it comes to malacha shenit zvicha legufa, on that, he doesn't agree with Rabbi Shimon. He believes that we follow Rabbi Yehuda, that malacha shenit zvicha legufa is aser, as the Gemara says. But davar sheino miskaven savalak Rabbi Shimon, but malacha shenit zvicha legufa savalak Rabbi Yehuda. That doesn't bother us. That's not a problem. Okay, last point in the Gemara on the issue of Nisachim, the wine and the oil, deals with the question of what happens to Nisachim that become Tamei. So, Amar Rav Huna says on the fourth line, Nisachim shenitmu, oselahen maracha bifnei atzman visorfan. He says, if nisachim, wine, oil, become tameh, you know what you do? You make a special maracha. I'm going to come back to what this maracha is in a moment, but right now we'll just say it's an arrangement of fire. Visorfan, and you burn them. Mishum shenemar bakodesh, ba'ish tisareif. The pasuk says, bakodesh, in the sacred place, ba'ish tisareif, they shall be burned. So you set up a special place to burn them. Rashi says, maracha al haritzba ba'azara, on the floor of the Azara you did this. V'lo yotzia l'chutz, you don't take it outside the Azara. Mishum shenemar b'kodesh b'ish tisareif, he quotes the pasuk that we quoted here. Peresheni dipsachem darshinan haikra, dot, 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 Rashi tells you where you get it from, and then he says, v'tamia ani. If you see it by the Shita Mekubetz, it's the letter Yud. He says, v'tamia ani, he says, I'm really surprised. Lama sorfan la'atzman v'eno sorfan v'beis hadeshen shaya b'azara. Why you burn them independently and not in the beis hadeshen, which was the place for this sort of thing. Shabo sorfan p'sulei kachay kachim, right? That's what you burn, kachay kachim, if they're possible. So put your nesachim there as well. V'nira be'enai shu davar lach. Sorfan la'atzman. So Rashi says, maybe because they are liquid, you burn them independently, shetei seifas ani keres la'atzman. So it's visible that you are burning them, otherwise they just get absorbed in whatever kachim are sitting there. Shemaya sorfan in basar ein nikare nisharein by mamash. If you would burn them with the meat, you wouldn't be able to tell. They wouldn't have any independent substance. That's all l'shitas Rashi. The Rambam in his Mishneh Torah in Hilchos Isurim Mizbeach, Perek Vav Halacha Hey, says the ma'aracha that you're burning them on is actually on the Mizbeach. You're not burning them on the floor at all in the Azara. You're burning it on the Mizbeach itself in its own independent space on the Mizbeach. And the Lecha Mishnah there explains, Rashi says the reason why, Rashi says you're doing it on the floor because you can't believe you're going to take something Tameh up on the Mizbeach to burn it. Whereas the Rambam says it's on the Mizbeach because it says Ma'aracha. And Ma'aracha, usually the place of a Ma'aracha is on the Mizbeach. We're not in the habit of creating bonfires on the floor of the Azara. We have this one spot called the Beis Hadeshen, but that we've already ruled out in this in this Gemara. So that's the machlokas about where this Ma'aracha actually takes place. Tanya Nami Achi, we have a brisa like this, which says, Hadam v'ashemen v'amenachos v'anesachem shenitme'u. Okay, not just the wine and the oil, but also menachos and nesachem, general menachem, v'vekam tamei. Osel and Ma'aracha b'fnei atzman v'sorfan. They get their own independent spot to be burned. Amar le'shmuel v'avchana b'gadeta'a. Shmuel says to Rav Chana of Baghdad, "I see li be asara ve'emalach kamayu nesachem shenitmu osel and maracha b'fnei atzman visor fun." He says, "I want you to publicize this lesson. So bring me 10 people and let them stand there while I teach this lesson, and that way everybody will know it." 10 in general is a number we use for pirsum to publicize things, like at a chuppah for sheva brachas. We insist on having 10 for publicity purposes, among other things. The Ayelas Hashachar asks, "Well, 3 is usually good enough for lashon hara." Right? Remember the Gemara says that if you have 3 people, you say chavra, chavra, it's like everybody knows everybody else, and the Lashon Hara spreads fast. So why do you need 10 here? So he gives a benign answer. His answer is because here you're talking about bringing people who are just a stam be'asara, 10 people who aren't talmidei chachamim, so they aren't going to really understand. You need to make sure you get 10 in order to see that in that group you'll get some people who will actually spread it. I think it's just because Lashon Hara spreads a lot faster than halacha. The 3 people will spread Lashon Hara very quickly. Halacha takes a lot harder to get the word out.
Doesn't 10 constitute yeshiva?
10 constitutes a yeshiva also. Yeah, but the question is, why did he want Sarbat Lanim for this lesson in particular? If it's for PR, I get it. Otherwise, you know, this lesson Dafka requires it is a little odd. Hadalach Kala Tadir. One note that following up from yesterday, we had the question of kmitza, how you do kmitza with oil. So the Tosas Yom Tov in Menachos, Perek Yud Beis Halacha Hey, Mishnah Hey, says that you took the shear of a kometz, which he says is 2 kizesim. You take a shear of it in a kli, and that's what you do. You're not actually using your hand. The Dos Yontov says it's impossible. You can't do it. I did see cited, there's another view that says that you congeal the oil, and you're taking the oil as a solid, but I don't understand how you do that without adding chemicals. And you can't add chemicals to the oil that you're bringing as a mincha. Frozen, right? It was in Toronto. They moved the Beis HaMikdash to Toronto. They left the oil in the car overnight, and then it was frozen.
Frozen oil.
I don't know. All right. Perek Dam Chatos. New issue, new discussions, new perek. What happens with, bless you, the blood of a Karban Chatas? We know certain rules regarding the blood of a Karban Chatas. If you take a look at the Pesukim I brought you there on the sheet, right? Daber al Aron v'al Benav le'mor zoz teras ha-chatas b'mekom asher tishachet ola tishachet ha-chatas lifnei Hashem. You shech the chatas where you shech the ola before Hashem. Kodesh Kodashim hu. We know it's Kodesh Kodashim. That's easy. Or he. Ha-kohen ha-chatei osa yochalena b'mekom kadosh te'achal v'chatzar al-moed. We know that as well. Kol asher yigav b'vsara yigdash. Anybody who touches the meat of the karban, right? Yigdash means the sinesad person, but anything that touches the meat of the carbon gains special status. Vasher yizemi dama ala beged, and that which, if the blood gets on a beged, asher yizem ala techabes makom kadosh, is going to have to be laundered in a holy place. Okay, that's the key for us on one level, the removal of the dam. And the other issue is that the dam, like other parts of the chatas, if it's an external chatas, is not supposed to be brought into the heichal. And we'll see that a little bit later. So those two halachos are going to be the subject of our discussion today. Blood that gets on a beged, and blood that is brought into the heichal. The other piece that we need to remember is that the blood of this chatas is going on the mizbeach without a kli. You're not emptying it into a kli and then spraying on the mizbeach. Rather, you're pressing it against the mizbeach. No kli involved. And that will become germane too. So our Mishnah has two parts. Yes?
Just pressing the dam. Are you talking just about chatas off?
Yeah, that's what I'm discussing right now. Correct. So this whole thing is dam chatas. Correct. So dam chatas shenitas ala beged, blood from a karban chatas that gets on clothing. Harei zet ta, and for now we're dealing with chutz and pnim. It doesn't make a difference. I'm not chutz and pnim. Yeah, we're dealing with chutz and pnim. Harei zet ta kibus. It must be laundered. As Rashi quotes you, the pasuk Vasher yizemi dama ala beged dot dot dot. Aval pi shein akasid midaber elav b'menei achalos. By default, I assume that pasuk is talking about the chatas that you get to eat. The chatas chutz. Shneimer, as the pasuk says, b'makom kadosh teyachel. It's talking about the karban chatas that actually will be eaten, the ones that are brought outside the heichal, that are brought in the azara. Echad aneachalos ve'echad apnimios teunos kibus. The truth of the matter is that whether they are eaten or whether they're the chatos hapnim, like the communal karban chatos, teunos kibus. The blood requires kibus. Shneimer, because the pasuk says toras hachatos. Right, zos taras hachatos, tarah achas l'chol hachatos. One set of laws for all types of karban chatas. That's our first part. So blood from an external chatas, blood from an internal chatas, has to be laundered if it gets on a beged, if it gets on a garment. Second part, what about a disqualified chatas? Chatas psula ein damataun kibus. The blood does not require laundering. Bein shayis l'shas hakosher, bein shelo ayis l'shas hakosher, whether it was ever suitable or not. Now we define was ever suitable versus was never suitable. Which ones were suitable at some point? Shalana, if it waited overnight. It was kosher until it waited overnight. Vishenitme'a, became tame, which we're going to discuss in a moment. The vishayatzas, or if it left its proper zone. The case of tuma is actually controversial, because remember the rule is, if blood of a chatas becomes tame, but the Kohen Gadol is wearing the tzitz on his forehead, then it's acceptable. So what do you mean that it's possible? So Tosfos says, assume that there's no tzitz. The tzitz got broken, or the Kohen Gadol wasn't wearing it. And the Taras HaKadosh points out from Rashi and Yuma Dav Zayin that the tzitz needs to be on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol when the tumah occurs. But the fact that he puts it on afterwards doesn't help.
Tzitz
did exist by Shani. Yes, you couldn't be a Kohen Gadol without a tzitz. That's this week's parsha. The other thing, though, is that Tosfos assumes that it's the blood that became tamei and not the meat of the karban, and that's actually in and of itself controversial. The Taras HaKodesh and the Dam Zvachim challenge this, because the Rambam says that the blood of a karban cannot become tamei midi oraisa. And if you're going to tell me it's the meat that became tamei, I have separate problems, because the meat of a karban doesn't receive hechsher lekabel tumah, and the idea that chibas hakodesh, love of the karban, makes the karban eligible to become tamei is a derabanan, not a delraisa. So this is not clear at all. Nonetheless, that's one of the cases that we mentioned in the Mishnah as something that was eligible and then became ineligible. Ve'ezohi, sorry.
Is this happening before Zrika, possibly?
Yes,
well?
This must be before Zrika. Ve'ezav ishaloi, if it was at Zrika, then we wouldn't have this conversation. Ve'ezav ishaloi salashas hakosher, which ones did not have a time when it was when they were eligible at all? Shenishka tachutz lezman of a chutz lemakoma. When the kohen shechted, if there's someone shechted the karban, he did it with a thought of doing an avoda at the wrong time or in the wrong place. Vishakiblu psulin as dama, or where psulin received, don't read the word vizarku, that's an error, as dama, where psulin received the dam. So it never had a moment when it was ready to be used properly. Okay. The Gemara now is going to tackle the question of why we don't do this for a bird chatas that gets on a beged. We only do it for blood from an animal chatas, not a bird chatas. And it's going to give us three different views about how we draw this from the psukim. You see it there on your sheet. I gave you a table. First is Reish Lakish, citing Bar Kafara. Second is Rabbi Yosef. And third is Rabbah. And they'll have different ways of deducing this. So Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yosef are going to assume that the pasuk itself teaches me about the chatas chutz, the external chatas. The Rabbah is going to disagree with that, but they're going to follow our Mishnah's approach. And the Gemara walks us through it. Here we go. Dam chatas shenitas, it should say, not shemesa, the blood of a chatas that's sprayed on a garment, etc. V'itara achas l'chol chatos, if it's true that, as you said in the Mishnah, zos taras achatas means the rules are the same for all karbonos chatas, then afilu chatas ahofnami. This rule should pertain to a chatas from to burn chatas too. Alama tanya yachol tehe dam chatas ahof ton kibus tamad lomar zos. Why do I have a brisa that says, I might have thought burn chatas, has the same rules for its blood. Tamalomar Zos Taras Achatas, this is the rule of Achatas, and it won't apply to the bird one. So I don't understand, where did that come from? Amar Reish Lakish Mishum Bar Kapara. So Reish Lakish says, citing Bar Kapara, Amar Kra Tishachet, that it shall be shechted. That's what the pasuk says. So that means Benish Chatas Hakasav Medaber. That means that it's talking about things that undergo Shechita. The bird undergoes Malika. The ema b'nei achalos hakasid medaber k'dechsiv makom kadosh te'achel avol pnimios lo. Why don't you tell me that the pasuk is only dealing with ne'achalos, the ones that are chutz, and exclude the pnim ones too? Right? And you're excluding the bird ones already. Why don't you exclude the pnim ones also, the internal ones? Rabbi Rachmana Taras. No, because the Torah says Taras, and that expands to all chatos, including the pnim ones. So I have Tishachet, which I assume excludes the bird, but I have Taras that I assume includes the chatos pnim. That's the idea. To which he says, Ihachi afilu chatos ha'ovnami. If so, then you should tell me that the law should apply to the chatas ha'ov too. Why don't I use Taras to expand to include the birds? No, mi'ed rachmana zos. No, because zos teaches me that there must be an exclusion, and then tishachay tells me it's the bird exclusion. So he says umara isa. But what did you see to do it that way? Why don't I say the exclusion is going to be for the pnim, the inclusion is going to be chatas ha'ov? Mistabra de chatas behema pnimios havalele rabuye. It makes more sense to include, to expand, to include the internal animal ones. Why? Because they have numerous similarities. Shekein behema. First of all, it's an animal and it's undergoing shchita. Therefore, shchita safon is our edition. The Bach's edition is behema kamosa ushchita kamosa. It's an animal and a shchita. And v'kabalas shchita safon v'kabalas safon. You're doing the shchita in the north, and you're accepting the dam in the north. And kli. In addition to that, kli, the reference here of kli is kabalas kli according to Rashi. Others connected to the shchita knife, but I think we'll go with kabalas kli. The keren, as well as you put the dam on the keren of the mizbeach specifically, the etzba, you use the finger of the kohen to do it. V'chuda, remember you do it running down the side of the edge of the keren with the three fingers, the way we learned back in about, I don't know, 40 daf ago. The ishim, and it goes on the fire. So these are all ways in which the animal one is the animal that's inside is like the animal that's outside. As opposed, so he says, well, adarabah, just the opposite. Chatas ha'of havalele rabuye. You should expand to chatas ha'of shekein chutz. They're both done in the azara, as opposed to the chatas ha'pnim, kimosa, like that one. V'achila kimosa, and you get to eat from the carbon. It's not entirely burned. To which he answers, Hanach Nefishin. It's true, however, there are more similarities between the animal one that's inside and the animal one that's outside. That's argument number one. That's Reish Lakish citing Bar Kapara for how I know this rule. Rabbi Yosef.
He's pointing to Gemara when it says that blood being nechales and not pnimius,
Yeah.
And then you made a comment that even Chadas Ha'of will be Mema'id.
Chadas Ha'of will be Mema'id from...
You said that let us be Mema'id Pneumius from Nechelas.
I'm sorry. If I said that, that's incorrect. We're Mema'id Be'of from Tishachet, from the fact that it's not Shechita. And well, Zos teaches me that there's...
The Gemara is asking Eimi ben Achelas, not Pneumius. The Gemara is asking that Chadas Ha'of should be required kibbutz at that point, right?
Right, so we haven't brought Oaf back in yet.
No, but at that point, the Gemara is saying, let us be my Pneumius and not Chadas.
No, because we haven't gotten rid of Tishachet as the exclusion of the Malika one. You see what I'm saying? We haven't gotten rid of Tishachet yet as Xeris HaKasuv. So I think what we're actually doing is saying exclude Oaf and exclude Pneumius. Yeah.
It's not saying only one or the other.
And that's my understanding. Okay. Yeah. So the Rabbi Yosef gives me a different approach. Rabbi Yosef Omar Kra Yochalena. He says the Pasuk says, you shall eat it. So lizu velola acheres. As Rashi says, top of the page, yochlena chada mashma. Yochlena is singular. Right? It's not yochlenu. It's yochlena. Lomar beachas min haneecholos kasavti l'chahinyan azev lo bechol haneecholos. To teach me that this is all regarding one type of consumed carbon, not all of them, and therefore nismata chadas haof shehu neecholos. We're excluding the bird one, which is consumed. It should probably be shehi neecholos. Midvar mamurim beinyan. We'll exclude them from that which was discussed. There, Uma Omer Binyan Kibus Mriko Shtif. Okay, so the way Rabbi Yosef says it is Yochalena, only one of the edible karbanos is going to be included, and that's Chatas Chutz. Zuvalo Acheres. B'ne'echalos Mi'ed Akasuv, back in the Gemara on the fifth line, where we are excluding among the karbanos that are eaten. Ve'ela Zos Lamali, then why do I need the word Zos at all? What is Zos there to exclude? Ilav Zos, without Zos, Hava Amina, Yochalena Urche Dekra. I would have said, you know what, don't read into the word Yochlena. It's just normal Pasuk speak. You need Zos to tell me, no, wait a minute, we really do want to exclude something. Kamash Malan, that's what it's teaching me, that we are excluding Chatas Ha'of. And I don't need a special Pasuk to include Chatas Pnim. Presumably, by default, it'll be under Toras. But he doesn't even bother to say it. He says, I have no reason to exclude it. Okay. And then third, Rabba Omar Kra Asher Yizeh, the Pasuk says, that which you spray, sprinkle, whatever, Bahazos, HaKasim Medaber. So it's only regarding Hazaos that we are coming to include. Meaning, as Rabba sees it, the word Asher Yizeh is actually meant to refer to Chatas Pnim, not Chatas Chutz. The default is Chatas Pnim. Because that's the one where the Torah explicitly mentions Hazaah. The Torah doesn't mention Hazaah explicitly when it comes to Chatas Chutz. It doesn't use that term. Asher Yizeh must be the internal Chatas. So he says, really? Vatanya afal pishen akasim v'daber ela b'nei achalos? Or Vatnan, it's really our Mishnah. It's talking specifically about Neachalos, the ones that do get eaten. Yeah, but that's L'inyan Riko Shtifa. That's as far as a separate rule. The rule that we have to clean out the Kli properly. In Morak v'shutaf. Aval L'inyan Kibus Asher Yizeh Ksiv. But as far as laundering is concerned, Asher Yizeh is our basis, which is for the Pnimios. Ihachi, if so, then when we said in the Mishnah, Echad HaNeachalos VeEchad HaPnimios, whether it's the Neachalos or the Pnimios, it sounds like the Neachalos are the essence, and the Pnimios are the ones that are deduced. It should be Echad HaPnimios VeEchad HaNeachalos VeBayaleh. The Pnimios are the Iker. Those are the ones that come from the Pasuk. So he says, you're right, to me, Echad HaPnimios VeEchad HaNeachalos. That's okay, we have that girsa. We're good. Iachi, if so, Chatas Ha'of Nami. Well, then why don't I expand to Chatas Ha'of also once you're already expanding? Mi'ed Rachmana Zos. No, the word Zos will exclude the bird ones. Iachi Chitzon Nami Lo. Well, let the word Zos exclude the external Chatas. No, Ibn Rachmana Toras. That's what Toras is for. That's my expansion. Umara Isa. What did you see that made you say I'm more likely to expand to Chatas Chutz than I am to expand to Chatas Ha'of? Same argument now in reverse. That we gave before about the similarities. Before we used the similarities to expand from Chatas Chutz to Chatas Pnim. Now we're using Chatas Pnim to expand to Chatas Chutz. But it's the same idea, the same set of similarities. Mara Isa, Mistabra Chatas Behema Havale Rabuya. It makes more sense to expand to an animal one. Shekein Behema Shchita Safon VeKabalas Kli VeKaren VeEtzma VeChuda VeIshim. All the things that we brought before. Shchita, it's an animal, it's in the north. You catch the dominant Kli. in the north. You put it on the keren of the mizbeach, on the corner, on the edge of the keren. You use your finger, it goes on the fire. You have parts that go on the fire. Adarabba, to which the Gemara says, chatas ha'of, ha'vali l'rabuye, shekein ha'zah kamosa. Why don't I expand to chatas ha'of, which also has ha'zah? As opposed to the chatas chutz, where the Torah does not mention it. Hanach, Nefishin, these, again, there are more points of similarity for these. So again, what we've accomplished is three different ways to use the psukim that the Torah provides to teach us about chatas chutz and chatas pnim, that if the dam from them gets on a beged, you have to launder the beged, whereas for the bird chatas, we don't require that. Okay, the Gemara now asks us three questions regarding regarding blood from a chatas. The first two are bird chatas, and the third one is going to be behema chatas. First, yes.
Didn't we say before in aninus b'makamashirus?
In aninus b'makamashirus, yeah.
So would that apply? Isn't that sort of like contradictory? I mean, if you're washing the clothes.
In other words, you're saying the clothing is dirty and therefore you should wash it, period. Right, so someone asked me a question the other day. They wanted to know how it is that you ever managed as a garment, with the big day kahuna, after all. I mean, they're going to get dirty every day. So my answer is, if you read in Parshas Tetzaveh, this is only half tongue-in-cheek, if you read in Parshas Tetzaveh about the makeup of the big day kahuna, you realize how many colors they had in them. Right, you have Tcheles, you have Zahav, you have the red from Talas Shani. I'm sorry. Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. All of your threads are made of all these different colors. I think that probably most things blended in. It would be pretty hard to stain Big Day Kahuna. I only say that half tongue in cheek. I think the answer is, because of our discussion here, that it wasn't so clear that everything that got on it would actually stain it and require washing. That's why, for the blood of the chatas, you dafka have to wash it out, because it may not stain it. And afal pichein, you have to launder it. I also I have a suffix about how this whole kibbutz system works, what kind of laundering this is, but the Gemara is actually going to go into it later on. Okay. So our first question deals with blood of the chatas that ends up inside the heichal. It's not supposed to go in the heichal. That's our ordinary rule. So, boy, Rabbi Avin asks, chatas ha'of sheichnes dama b'tzavara b'fnim mahu. What if you brought the chatas ha'of into the heichal with the blood in it? Okay? That's my question. We know that if it was in a kli, it will become pasul. But it's in the neck of the bird. So tzavara kikli shari's dami umifsal. Do I say being in the neck is just like being in a kli and it's possible? O dilma kitzavar behema dami. Or maybe I'll say it's like just like being in the animal's neck. And the rule is midama amarachmana velo besara. If it's in the flesh, it doesn't count. Then we don't have a problem. That's my question. Midama is from the pasuk I brought you on the sheet. V'chol chatas asher yuvam midama hel ohel moed. If some of the blood is brought in, and we assume it doesn't mean blood in the neck. So what's the status here? It's different because it's a bird, not an animal carbon, and maybe the laws are different. Tashema, comment here. We learned. If you're shechting your bird chatas, and in the course of its normal post-shkita movement, it enters the heichal. It's the chicken running around without a neck, without a head. So it goes into the heichal, and then it leaves the heichal. Ksheira, we say that it's kasher. The implication is ha'ichnisa psula. That's only because it went in on its own. But if you brought it in, then in fact it would be pasul. That's our suggestion. To which the Gemara says, really? Is that the way you parse the word hechnisa? According to you, then, I have another use of a similar language. Gabe kadshe kadshim. Diktani, pirkasa v'yatza l'darom v'chazrak sheira. We say if kadshe kadshim are supposed to be processed in the north part of the heichal, and they instead, they ran into the south on their own. You say it's kasher. Ha-hotzia psula. That means that if you brought it there on your own, then in fact it would be possible. Would they kutche be possible? I know that's not true. Rashi explains how I know it. Rashi, the first wide line. Bitmia. V'chiyesh mechitza v'tzafon u'bedarm li'pasal b'yotze. Is there any barrier that you can mark, oh, now it's entered the south, and now it's going to be called yotze, because it left the north? There is no such concept. It's not true. Ella, rather, the Gemara says, ha-yatzasa l'chutz itzrichalei. The answer is, the term yatzas alachutz in the case of things that went from north to south was needed to teach me a different rule. Specifically that, they're kosher? Hachanami yatzalachutz istruchalei. So too, the word yatzalachutz here, or hechnisa, or nach, or the issue was nichnisa, was the way it was used for us. Was needed to teach me some other law. Is not to teach me a distinction between where it went on its own and where you brought it. The rule is, if the bird runs into the heichal, or you brought it into the heichal with the blood in its neck, that does not disqualify the karban. That's the rule. That answers question number one. Question number two. Boy, Rabbi Oven. Rabbi Oven wants to know why it is that you don't use a kli. This is a very interesting question. We say, the pasuk says, it's there, I brought it on your sheet. Kohen brings it to the mizbeach, umalakes rosho, he does the malika, v'iktira mizbecha, puts it on the mizbeach, v'nimtsa damo akira mizbeach, and the blood is squeezed out against the wall of the mizbeach. No kli is used. So the question is that because using a kli is actually osur, it'll disqualify the karban, or is it because no kli is necessary? Practical application, what if the blood went into a kli? That would be my question. So, boy, Rabbi Oven. Rabbi Oven asks me a second question, 10 lines up from the bottom. Nishbach ala ritzba va'asafa mahu. What happens if the blood of the chata spills onto the floor, and then you gather it? Atzruchei hudelo atzruchei rachmana kli shareis v'hokachos v'kasher. Is it that the Torah didn't require a kli? But here, you'll need it, so go ahead, use a kli, and it's fine to gather it up. Or was the Torah saying, kli is actually puzzle for this purpose, and therefore, here you're stuck. Amar Rava, so Rava says, Tashma, come and hear from the following. We said, Yachol Yehidam Chatas Ha'ov Ta'un Kibus, I might think that the blood of a bird Chatas requires laundering. Tamalomar Zos, the Torah says, Zos. That was how I knew that the blood of the bird Chatas didn't require laundering. So he says, watch this. Critical assumption here. The Big Day Kahuna are Kalim. Okay, that's an important note. So if it gets on the beged, it's like it's in a kli. If you're going to disqualify a kli, right, then you're disqualifying the blood that gets on the bird. Well, we already learned, chatas is pasul, then you don't have to do the laundering of the dam. So he says, if you were to tell me that in fact the Torah disqualifies the dam when it gets on it, when it gets in a kli, then my answer here would be that the blood became disqualified because it got into the avir kli, the airspace of the garment of the kohen. So that teaches me, it appears that teaches me, that it doesn't become disqualified in a kli, it's just a kli are unnecessary. So Amr Ravuna Bered of Yeshua, not necessarily. Ravuna Bered of Yeshua says, I'll answer you, b'mad b'kli b'tzavara. That's actually talking about where the garment was pressed against the neck of the animal, it touched the neck of the animal, and therefore there was no airspace for the blood to enter, and therefore that's not adequate proof. We drop that question, and instead we ask a third question, which will take us to the end of the page. B'mine Levi. Levi asks a question. Nitas mi beged le beged mahu. Let's say, by the way, they should have Kubetz is Levi's asking Rebbe this question. Nitas mi beged le beged mahu. Let's say the blood of the karban hits one garment and then pounces to another. We're not on the bird case anymore. Because we said that bird blood doesn't require kibbutz, right? So there's no discussion. It's now animal chatas. And the question is, the animal blood ricochets from one garment to another one. What's its status? Do I say that the second garment requires kibbutz or not? On the one hand, mi beged kama itchil el kibbutz. Once it hits the first one, and it requires laundering there, that's it. That's the end of the laundering requirement. Odomalah, or not, perhaps. Amalei Zusha Eilei says, that's a really good question, and I'll answer you. Ta'un kibbutz, it has to be laundered. Memanafshach, because what do you want here? He says, E osfo v'kasher ha-kasher. Either the blood is still kasher, it's still usable, such that I could gather it from that point in a kli, and it'll be good. The osfo u'pasol, and if you're going to tell me that it's no good for gathering at that stage, anaku Rabbi Akiva svirulei, damar ha'isalo shas ha'kosher v'nifsala damar ta'un kibbutz. I follow Rabbi Akiva, who says that if the blood was eligible at some point in the past, then it still requires laundering. Remember we said in the Mishnah? We said blood from a disqualified chatas, if it had been kosher at some point in the past, requires kibbutz. So he says, my answer will be, it requires kibbutz. That's Rabbi Akiva's view. We haven't seen Rabbi Akiva yet. He's on the next page. So I follow Rabbi Akiva's view, and therefore, either way, whether the blood ricochets and it's still kosher, or whether the blood ricochets and it becomes pasul, either way, I will require kibbutz. And we'll pick up with that, with more questions about Dam Chatas tomorrow.